You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What is a Michigan accent?
There's something about being here on our peninsula that makes us feel a little bit alone.
That's West Michigan writer Bonnie Jo Campbell demonstrating something that linguists call the Inland North accent. And even though we Michiganders famously like to think of ourselves as accentless, that has not been the case, although that may be changing. Writer Ted McClellan's piece for Belt Magazine is titled, What's in a Vowel in Search of the Disappearing Short A Rising? Ted, welcome back to Stateside.
Hey, it's great to be back, Cynthia.
So we Michiganders really do think of ourselves as having no accent and having that perfect neutral broadcast voice. But your piece describes this Inland North accent featuring something called the Northern Cities Vowel Shift. First of all, tell us what that is, and then we'll take a listen to an example.
Well, the Northern Cities Vowel Shift, I mean, it's said to be one of the biggest changes in speech in 1,000 years. There are vowels that have been stable in English for almost a millennium, and we in the upper Midwest are pronouncing them differently than they have ever been pronounced before. Some theories on how that started. There's a linguist named William Leboff, who's at the University of Pennsylvania. He believes it got started as a result of the building of the Erie Canal, when people from all over, people from New York, people from Boston, immigrants from Ireland got together. Out of that mix, they started a new sort of, you know, linguistic soup. Hmm. And two of the most important elements of it are what's called the short A rising. And I found out about this. I was in Houston, Texas last year, visiting my wife's family, and I asked, how far is it to Dallas? Of course, that's how you pronounce it, right? And she said, where? To Dale's house? So
now how would
that's
they
how I
say?
Found out that we Michiganders do in fact have accents that not the rest of the country can't understand.
So when we say Dallas, that's not what they say.
No, they say I can't even say Dallas.
Dallas.
There you go.
Okay.
And another important element is the fronting of the short O. So that's what makes us say things like box. And of course, the phrase that would be so uniquely Midwestern and include both elements would be, I drank a can of pop. Right. So there you have the A raising and the O fronting.
And you point out in your piece, pretty much west of Rochester, it is pop, and east of it's soda. Well, I want us to take a quick listen, Ted, to a clip from the documentary film Burn. We actually talked about that documentary here on Stateside. It profiles Detroit firefighters. And I want everyone to pay special attention to the words afterwards, structure, cancer, complications, and the name Abby.
There have been some places where you come out afterwards and you realize the structure of the building is designed to kill firemen, you should have freaking bought it there.
I was 17 when my father died from cancer, possibly complications from a fire. Originally, I had always said that I would be a 25-year guy. I don't know that to be true now with two small children.
Abby is 5 1/2 and Owen just turned 3.
So, Ted, this is an upper Midwest thing, and I'm wondering how closely is this connected to all the populations of the Rust Belt? And what I mean by that, I'm thinking of the population trends in Michigan in the 20th century. We've got, you know, the flood of Southerners, black and white, into southeast Michigan during World War I and World War II. And then, of course, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, we've seen Irish, Germans, Italians, and Poles. Is that where this kind of stew came from?
You know, I would say not, because people who move here tend to adopt the regional accent. I mean, I think the stew came from, you know, these developments in upstate New York. And of course, these people then followed the Erie Canal into the Great Lakes. And one of the interesting things that linguists have found about this is that it didn't really start happening until the early 20th century. I interviewed a guy named Matthew Gordon, and he had listened to recordings of people from Grand Rapids born in the late 20th century, and they didn't do this at all. And of course, if you listen to Gerald Ford, he doesn't really display the northern city's vowel shift either. His vowels are very flat. And maybe what you're saying, there's something to what you're saying, because it sort of mirrors the industrial rise of the upper Midwest. And now what I'm hearing from other linguists, I heard to talk to a guy named David Durian who studies Chicago speeches, it's now, he's starting to see the shifts. They're either not increasing or they're decreasing. As he pointed out, that people in Pittsburgh, they used to say downtown.
Okay.
And people aren't saying that as much before. And in Chicago, you don't hear people say D's, dem, and does the way they used to be. So what he said was, I think regional identity still matters to some extent, but I don't think it matters as much as it did 50 years ago. And he said the peak of the Midwestern accent in a lot of ways mirrors the peak of the upper Midwest, of the industrial America.
What about groups that are coming in? We talk about it kind of eroding, and we're having new waves of immigrants coming in, where we have people from the Middle East, we have Latinos. Is that changing, and is that part of what might be causing the shift?
Yeah, I think that it's just part of, you know, as he said, among younger speakers, we're seeing the emergence of a more generic American accent. You know, this was David Durian. He said that people are more likely to identify with the idea that you're a Midwesterner rather than a Chicagoan or a Clevelander. So that may have some influence on reducing some of those stronger characteristics. I think younger people are a little more resistant to the idea of having an accent that marks them as being from such a particular place.
Let's listen to another example of the Northern City's vowel shift. These are Cleveland Browns fans. Ted just touched on Cleveland. And take a close listen to the words half or game or tailgate, parties, passion. So take a listen.
The first game that my husband and I took our 2.5-year-old son Max to see. We had discussed for weeks whether he should attend the game only or give him the full experience and take him down to the Muni lot to tailgate.
This was the place that where when 1 o'clock rolled around, the fans had made their way from the tailgate parties in the Muni lot and brought their party around the mud field, which was painted green. We all wore our hearts on our sleeve to show our passion for our city, for our team, and even our beat-up old stadium.
Now, you've been hearing from these linguists that this northern city's vowel shift, as you described it, is beginning to weaken, kind of as the industrial Midwest goes on the decline. What are they telling you? What does the future hold for the inland north accent? Will it disappear?
Well, I don't think it will disappear. I mean, one thing that Durian said was it's in a lot of the bigger cities, he's maybe seeing it start to erode, but maybe in some of the smaller towns, it's still there. So it's not increasing, but it still exists. I mean, we'll always have regional accents, but accents will probably become, you know, somewhat flatter and more generic as time goes on. But I think there will still always be a distinctive Michigan accent.
Ted McClellan is the author of Nothing But Blue Skies, The Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. You'll find his look at the Inland North accent by going to beltmag.com. Ted, it's always great talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.